Welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 72, recorded March 28th, 2024.
Hello! Yes!
All right. Yes!
All right, everybody, we got Craig. Yeah. Whoa.
Woohoo! Whoa,
yeah, yeah. Hey.
Yes! Is this for real?
Yes, no, it is.
For real. He's here. After months of testicle...
Wait, what?
Difficulties. I said testicle difficulties.
Don't you have something wrong with your testicles? That's why you weren't here last time. I was like, oh, shit, dude, what the hell happened?
All right, man, very good. All right, let's get started. We're starting a little bit late, so let's get started with hard news.
Yes.
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 All right. Ghoulies director and screenwriter are now planning a new trilogy. They just acquired the rights to the original film from 1984, nice. And now they're ready to introduce it to a brand new generation.
Woo-hoo! Give me the crites.
Yes. Dude, I fucking love that very first one.
The second one was great, too.
The second one was funny because it was more of a comedy than the first one, yeah. But they were still great movies, but the first one was my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that. So according to AP News, fans of the cult classic horror, the film The Ghoulies, are rejoicing as the dynamic duo behind the original B-horror masterpiece have reclaimed the domestic rights to their 1984 cult classic film. And the plan is to write and release and develop a new trilogy for the new generation.
Excuse me, I was just thinking of Critters, not Ghoulies.
Yes.
Ghoulies is the toilet.
I was like, wait a minute.
The one that looks a little bit like Eddie Maiden.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is, but in my head, for some reason, I thought you said Critters. I apologize.
That's all right. No crites, Ghoulies.
Yeah.
All right. Barbara Crampton is producing a remake of The Tourist Trap. That's right. 45
years. Have you seen that one yet, Chris? You haven't seen that one.
79.
But told you to put it.
I don't think I have. I don't think so.
That one was on both Craig and I's top five lists a couple times.
I know. Yeah, it's one of those ones. Is it available for streaming or somewhere?
Right now, if you're interested in catching up and seeing the 1979 original release, right now you can see it on Shudder, Tubi, Peacock, Freevee, and AMC Plus.
I have no excuse.
Yeah, they just dropped it on Shudder.
I
have no excuse, Chris.
Yeah, it just got added not too long ago.
I'll add it to my Easter viewing list.
Yeah, so Barbara Crampton has got her production company working on a new release, so I'm excited for that. It'd be nice to see an updated remake. Think about it. The number of people that travel the country in tourism and could stumble into never coming home is
they better
way
do the voices
nowadays,
in there, too. Like, oh! You know, the mannequins were saying
Yeah, it's got to be. I'm sure it will be because Barbara Crampton, come on. She is a horror icon. She loves the horror genre. She's going to do great work with this, I'm sure.
I'll have to check that. Well, I'll have to watch the original first so I know what the hell y'all are talking about.
According to Twitter and or X, it's funny because if you click on the links, it goes to twitter.com. But yet he calls the stuff X. What a fucking asshole. But anyway, according to Twitter and or X, Jason Blum posted to his feed on Twitter that day one on the set of Wolfman has begun filming. What? That's right. Wolfman reboot by Blumhouse is filming now.
Nice.
Did Universal do the one with Anthony Hopkins and Del Toro? Was that Universal? Okay.
That's correct. That was going to be part of their massive new Universal Monsters universe, which died on
right
the
after.
Line.
So what about this one? Is this going to be part of the revamped universe?
This is one that Universal has decided to take their hands off of it.
Let
other
Blumhouse
people do it. Yep.
So if they're supposedly doing this new universe, which they said after The Invisible Man, right? Like, and we know that The Bride of Frankenstein is being done by Warner Brothers, and now Wolfman is being done by Blumhouse. What do they got? Yeah, Dracula and Frankenstein, yeah. Right?
Right.
And the Invisible.
But then think about it. Well, and the best thing about it is Universal Pictures distributed the Invisible
and the Creature. Right? Creature from the Black Lagoon too, right?
It was done by. Right. It was done by an independent team. So they're letting each movie company kind of do their own thing and saying this is their shared universe. I like that idea because you know what? Universal sucks. They're not doing a great job. They're picking. Basically, Universal has the same problem that Sony has, which is you have a board of directors going, you know what? We should make a movie, but it needs to be Superman without a cape and a giant spider. He has to fight a giant spider somewhere in that film. So you're instead of having that type of bullshit going on, you're letting independent, you know, writers and directors come up with something unique and great.
You're Think letting artists
Invisible
do their
Man
shit.
Invisible Man was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it was
fantastic.
Crazy good, right?
Yeah.
It was modern. It was edgy. It was good. Let other people do it. If you're a corporation that just wants to make money, don't let your board of directors design a fucking movie and decide how things should be. Fucking let independent people put it together and just call it a shared universe. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that works. As long as it's a shared universe.
Right. All right. So that's that, Wolfman, Wolfman, fucking X, fucking Twitter. That pisses me off. Anyway, the new In a Violent Nature trailer, I don't know if you guys caught it. I posted that to our Facebook group. Announces that the film will be out May 31st for a theatrical release and then going to Shudder shortly thereafter.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
A Violent Nature was one of those films that came out last year during South by Southwest, I believe, and then it caught a lot of attention Sundance this year, where Shudder then signed it up for distribution. So that's pretty awesome.
Way to go, Shudder.
Shudder's been really pulling no punches when it comes to
the villain. Looks so really awesome. They did a nice job with him, right?
Dude, and the scene in the trailer where you just hear wild animals sometimes just be wild, and you see him like with an axe in the background just fucking hacking the shit out of somebody. I'm like, yes, I can't wait till this film comes out. In a Violent Nature is one of the most highly anticipated genre releases of the year. I pulled from the bottom of the trailer, they got a little description of the film. It says, delve into the wilderness where an undead horror awakens. In a Violent Nature flips the script on traditional slashers, inviting you to witness the rampage from the monster's eyes. Seize the bone-chilling experience in theaters May 31st.
Sweet.
I am so excited for that film. That's one of those films when I was like, shit, I should have watched that at Sundance, damn it.
There's a lot of good ones coming out this year.
Yeah. Something I just posted this afternoon on our Facebook group is the new film Baghead, starring Freya Allen. It drops on Shudder in April. Freya, if you're not familiar, Freya Allen is from The Witcher. She played the blonde chick. What was her name?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is coming out from Studio Canal. From their little thing, it says, following the death of her strange father, Peter Mullen, played by Peter Mullen, Iris, played by Freya Allen, learns that she has inherited a rundown centuries-old pub. She travels to Berlin to identify her father's body and meet with the solicitor, played by Ned Dennehy, who discusses the estate. Little does she know, when the dead is signed... wait a minute. What am I fucking reading here? Little does she know, when the deed is signed, she will become the inextricably tied to an unspeakable entity that resides in the pub's basement. Baghead. Hmm. A shape-shifting creature that can transform into the dead. 2,000 in cash for 2 minutes of the creature is all it takes for a desperate loved one to ease their grief. Neil, who has lost his wife, is Iris's first customer. Like her father, Iris is tempted to exploit the creature's powers and help desperate people for a price, but she soon discovers that breaking the two-minute rule can have terrifying consequences. Together with her best friend Katie, Iris must battle to keep control of Baghead and figure out how to destroy her before she destroys them.
Interesting. It's a good concept.
Interesting concept. Something new.
Yep.
It says it's from the producers of It and Barbarian. So,
cool.
Might be something good.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Table Read Podcast is going to host a Fright Night Table Read. Tablehead Podcast, which films here in Burbank, California, says that they are scheduled for an April 20th in Burbank to record this table read of Fright Night. The cast are set to reunite with the writer-director Tom Holland, who will be directing the table read. The cast will be joined with special guests Mark Hamill and Rosaria Dawson for a live reading of the entire script for the Table Read Podcast. According to JoeBlow.com, Tom Holland will be directing the script reading, which will be produced by Table Read's Sean Sharman, Mark Nell, and Jack Levy. Reprising their roles from the film will be Chris Sarandon, Jerry Dandridge, William Ragsdale, Charlie Brewster, Amanda Pierce as Amy Peterson, Stephen Jeffrey as Evil Ed Thompson, and Art Evans as Detective Lennox, Dorothy Fielding as Judy Brewster, and Jonathan Stark as Billy Cole. Rosario Dawson will be reading the lines of the character Miss Nina, and Mark Hamill will be stepping in for the late Roddy McDowell as the horror host vampire hunter Peter Vincent. I'm going to listen to that. I marked my calendar and I subscribed to that podcast because that sounds
pretty cool.
Like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite vampire films. One of my top five for sure.
Fright Night.
Yeah, Fright Night is fucking... I got the 4K for that. And the 4K restoration is absolutely fantastic. The behind the scenes footage and all the documentaries and the director commentary is fucking awesome too.
Nice.
Definitely worth a buy if you're into collecting movies. All right. Late Night with the Devil. Sunday box office numbers are $666,666. This is not a joke. This is not a gag. Hail Satan.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's right. According to Variety Magazine, when they published numbers of all the films this weekend, they put a little paragraph at the bottom that says, the independent scene... Late Night with the Devil took sixth place and summoned 2.6 million of the viewers, including, you can't make this up, in quotes, $666,666 on Sunday's numbers. This marks the biggest opening weekend from its distributor, IFC Films, taking over 2022's The Watcher at $862,775. A low-budget thriller stars David Datchel. I don't know how to say that.
You said it right last time.
Let me see if Siri can speak it for me. Where's Siri? Oh, no. This one doesn't have speech in this app. God damn it.
It's like, yeah. Dasmulchin or something like that.
Dasmulchin. Yeah, there you go. David Dasmulchin in a late-night talk show host who keeps cameras rolling during a live satanic incident. This weekend's release is Late Night with the Devil, set on our opening weekend, says Scott Showman from the AMC Network's Films, which encompasses IFC. It continues to showcase that there is still potential for highly reviewed, intelligent amateur films and the movie theaters across all genres. Late Night with the Devil director explains part of the controversy from this movie. I don't know if you know it or not, but... As it's been having rave reviews, 99% of Rotten Tomatoes, the last time I looked, there started to be a little bit on social media saying, hey, there is some AI-generated images in this film. That
really?
Is bad. Yes.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
They said there are three images in the film that are like the cue cards when they're going to commercial, where mm-hmm. the images looked a little fucked up. They're kind of pumpkins, but not. It was AI-generated. To try and stop a little craziness from driving this film down, the writer and director team came out and said, listen, Late Night with the Devil has some AI. We experimented with it, three images, and this happened before the SAG strike. We weren't aware of the issues with AI. After the SAG strike, we did not remove it because the film was already released at South by Southwest. So we will not do this in the future.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, so I'll take that. That's fine.
Yeah, but that's cool.
man, $666,666, and that's not a joke. Fuck yeah, hell Satan. All right.
Yeah. There's a lot of movies about Satan that do well in the theater, apparently.
Dude, Immaculate, you got to see that film, man. I saw an early screening of that, and man, oh man, did I love it.
They're angry about that film, though. Well, the religious right is angry about that film.
Dude, the thing about it is a lot of these films, like, even if you look at the trailer for The Omen, you look at the trailer for Immaculate, they're both. Yeah, The Omen, yeah. The thing is, they're both anti-religious films, and they're more about female body autonomy.
Yeah.
Which is a very, very important subject nowadays.
Yeah.
I think it's great how they're incorporating that shit into here. It's body horror and female body horror specifically. Very, very interesting. I loved Immaculate, and I am so stoked for The Omen. All right. According to Fangoria magazine, the first Omen birthing scene almost got the film an NC-17 rating.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Yes. And
according to the director, this story is really about woman's body horror, which is rooted in the reality of forced birthing, women autonomy, and lack thereof. Because of this, showing a woman's body in a non-sexual manner was key to driving the horror home. The horror in this situation is how dehumanizing it is as a woman. This has been my life for a year and a half, fighting for that shot. This is the theme of our film. This is a female's body being violated from the inside outwards. This is, if we're here and we're going to talk about female body horror, we're going to have to talk about forced reproduction. We're going to have to be able to show the female body in a non-sexualized light. I'm very proud of this shot, and I'm glad we got it an R rating.
Cool. So, yeah. That's cool.
All right. Fear Street, Prom Queen, finally has its cast. According to Deadline, they posted an image and information about the cast. I'm not going to read it all off. If you're interested, we'll post the link in our threads here for the Deadline article. But basically, Netflix, Tuesday morning, they unveiled the entire cast for the new Fear Street Prom Queen, which is the latest film from the Fear Street horror franchise based on the book series from R.L. Stine. According to Fear Street's summary here, we have the Fear Street Prom Queen takes us back to the town of Shadyside, Ohio, where the Prom Queen season at Shadyside High is underway, and the school's wolf pack of its girls is busy with its usual sweet and vicious campaigns for the crown. But when a gutsy outsider is unexpectedly nominated to the court, the other girls start mysteriously disappearing. The class of 1988 is suddenly in for one hell of a prom night.
I saw one of the names in the cast I recognized was Chris Klein, who was in a bunch of '90s movies. He did the American Pie movies.
Yeah.
And that was the only name as I was scrolling through it real quick. That was the one name I recognized like quickly.
I'm looking at the names. None of them really caught me. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, the first three were great, so I'm really looking forward to this one.
The first three showed up on all of our lists several times, once again.
All three of them, too, right? There wasn't a bad one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers.
And this one takes place in the 80s, I think, right? I think that's what you said, 80s.
Yep. Another Deadline story. According to Deadline, a Stephen King adaptation, The Monkey, just wrapped filming. Is an adaptation of a Stephen King short story wrapped shooting this week. They reveal that the cast is joining Theo James, includes Tatiana Maslany, Elijah Wood, Christian Convey, Colin O'Brien, Rowan Campbell, and Sarah Levy from Schitt's Creek.
Wait, did you say Conan O'Brien?
No. Colin O'Brien.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, shit, Conan O'Brien's it?
He's in the Wonka film.
Oh, okay.
Previously reported, there were some behind the scenes here that James Wan, creator of the Conjuring universe, co-creator of the Saw and Insidious franchise, involved in this film. In The Monkey, Two twin brothers, Hal and Bill, discover their father's old monkey toy in the attic. A series of gruesome deaths start occurring all around them. The brothers decide to throw the monkey away and move on with their lives, growing apart over the years. But when a mysterious death starts beginning again, the brothers must reunite, find their way to destroy the monkey for good before it takes the lives of everyone close to them.
There was a horror movie out in the 80s.
Was it on the cover of Monkey?
Yes, that was it. Monkey Shine. That was it.
I don't remember.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that was it.
It was on the cover of it. Yeah.
Yeah, they made a movie about that. Like, I remember that. Maybe it was a short or something, but I remember that.
Yep. Yeah. So, what, Stephen King, man, his. I got a feeling even when he dies, his stories are still going to be made into movies. Like, his estate is going to be managing that shit for decades.
For sure.
All right, one more story here. We got Ryan Coogler has a vampire film that's expected to be released in March 2025. The film has landed a March 17, 2025 date, including an IMAX release. Production is supposed to start in the coming weeks. He signed a deal with Warner Brothers for him. And who's that dude that plays Creed? Michael B. Jordan is going to be starring in that film.
Oh, I thought you meant Creed from The Office.
No, what is wrong with you? Creed from The Office. The movie Creed.
Wasn't Michael B. Jordan.
Warner Brothers wants to avoid the summer and fall with this one, so hopefully it'll be out just in time for spring. All right. Any other stories from you fellas?
No, I went and saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire over the weekend. Nice. It was a fun movie. You know, I mean, you know it's not a horror movie, right, when you go to watch Ghostbusters?
It did better than the last one. Yeah.
Did it? It was fun. There were some plot holes here and there, and I think they tried to cram too much into it. But I think what they're trying to do, because apparently Jason Reitman has like two more like ideas in his head to further this, so they're trying to phase out the old dudes so they can usher in the new group. So this one was, I think that is supposed to be that kind of that handoff, and it was a good time. I liked it.
Jason Reitman didn't direct this one, right? He just produced it. Is that correct?
Yeah, but he's got ideas in his mind for the. Okay. Yeah, I think he produced this one, but he's got plans for two more, I believe.
Nice.
From what I read.
Nice.
It was
nice.
Fun. Sal, there were some callbacks in there.
I was going to tell Sal. I thought you were done.
No, that's cool. I basically was.
Six Flags has a Scream Break. So,
Scream Break? What's
it's
that?
It's a horror themed. They converted Six Flags. Yep.
Spring? That's pretty awesome.
I don't know how far away it is from you.
Good idea.
Maybe an hour away?
Let me see. Six Flags.
It's like Christmas in July, but for Halloween.
Six Flags Magic Mountain?
Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Is it Ventura? No.
Yeah, Scream Break. Let's see, where's Six Flags?
It's a good idea.
God damn it!
Yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, we got to figure out when you guys come out here. It's 50 miles.
So. About an hour. Yeah. Don't know if it's worth it, but they do a Halloween themed thing. So.
It's about an hour and a half.
That's far.
Almost 2 hours.
Oh, bueno. Mm.
Yeah, it says 58 miles, so it's an hour and 54 minutes. You know, traffic in LA.
That's on paper, that should only be.
Yeah, that'd be about an hour trip here.
Oh, they opened up the Queen Mary.
The problem is, I got to come from Long Beach. I had to go all the way through Los Angeles on the 5 and get all the way up.
Well, they reopened the Queen Mary.
Yeah,
they have a seance thing. It's expensive though, but you can do like an old time seance.
What we should do when you guys come to visit, we need to do the Queen Mary horror thing because that's back.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be awesome.
Shacktoberfest or whatever. We got to do.
Yeah, faux show.
Close to home.
Yeah, it's right down the street. We could literally walk across the bridge and get there. All right, awesome. So let's go into 5 great flicks to watch I got this month, and I'm picking HBO Max or Max or whatever they're calling it nowadays. All right, my 5 picks in no particular order. Under the Skin. I told you I watched this a long time
ago. I'm all caught up with the movies I was supposed to watch yet.
What'd you think of
Really cool. Skin?
Fucking incredibly crazy, right? It's very fucking weird. But it's interesting to see what's
Scarlett Scarlett
Johansson.
In Scotland or wherever she was, right?
It's fucking great movie. I liked it. Midsommar. Another fucking classic.
I gotta rewatch him. I haven't watched it since a long time ago.
That's one of those ones you can watch it. I can watch it once, maybe like every 5 years. You know, like it's not one you need to see like every year because it's just fucked up.
Yeah,
It's like, I forgot about Midsommar. I'm gonna watch that. Oh shit! Yeah,
it's one of those. One of those films that you're like, it's a good film, but it leaves you with like mental scars that you think about for a couple days afterwards. Life After Beth. It's a comedy. It's in my queue.
I've been wanting to watch it. I just haven't.
And it's in my queue.
Aubrey Plaza.
John C. Reilly, Aubrey Plaza. Yeah, like, what's not to like?
Listen, it's a good film. It's very funny, but it is a zombie film, and I like it. One that we reviewed a couple years ago, The Hole in the Ground. Great film.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Great film.
Creepy little kid.
And then one last one here, which is a classic that I can't avoid. If you haven't seen it, if you have seen it, the 4K version is on Max. That's Aliens. That is the...
Definitely.
They
got the 4K version. Nice.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right. Awesome. Fantastic. Wonderful. Great. Now, next, we are going to skip on to the top five list. This month's top five is top five torture horror films. The order this month is Sal, Chris, Craig. All right. My number five, The Loved Ones. Another film that we reviewed.
Totally forgot.
Fucking
Diamond in the Rough there. That was definitely, like a
definitely.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah.
That chick was crazy.
Yeah. My number four, Craig and I, we saw this in the theater together, Hostel.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of like started. It wasn't the first torture porn one, but it was the first one that was really focused on it.
Saw, I think, right?
Yeah, but this one, the torture was pretty much entire point
and
of it.
It was
good.
Yeah. My number three, and I know, Chris, you have not seen this film, but I implore you to please watch it. The Human Centipede.
No.
Dude, you gotta watch
it. No. I do not have to watch it. I do not.
It's an experience you have to have at least once. I'm not gonna make you watch a second one, although
I'm telling
the second
you, it's one of the most iconic horror movies ever. You have to watch it, dude.
Listen,
no way, man.
It's not ingrained in pop culture
for no reason.
It's
out there. You have to watch it.
There's a reason nobody watches it, because it's ass to mouth and ass to mouth again. Why would you watch that?
Dude, the South Park one is the best one that they made fun of. That is fucking hilarious.
Oh, that can come by the way, too. Snow Day, South Park video game. Anybody's.
When it comes,
I ordered it. Listen, I ordered it.
When it comes to a torture horror film, you can barely touch the limits of what Human Centipede introduces to you.
It would be torture for me to watch that film. No, I won't do it. I'll never watch
that
movie.
The doctor that performed... Dude, you got to watch it, man. You have to watch
it. I do not. No.
All right.
And screaming ass, I'm going home.
My number two. My number two, a classic. I've watched it many times. The remake wasn't that good. I Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
It was one of those like 70s grindhouse films, just so dirty.
Absolutely. It was absolutely a sexploitation film. Yeah. And my number one, when it comes to torture horror movies, this one really takes the cake. That is Saw, the original Saw.
Yeah, that James Wan pretty much put him on the map, right?
Boomed his whole career, baby. That movie set off the blaze that is James Wan's career.
Faux show.
I got three honorable mentions. House of 1,000 Corpses. You know, we can't skip over that one. It just didn't qualify as those five for me.
You know, I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
It's definitely torture, man. That is a torture horror film.
Turns him into the fish boy.
And mental. How about mental torture on that one too?
Exactly. Then we got the classic 1972, The Last House on the Left.
Mm.
That one will fuck your head up. And, of course, Misery.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of Misery, too. Yeah, that's a good one. Man, there's ones there I didn't even think of.
There's lots, actually. I could have done top 10 of this.
There is.
Or, you know what? It's funny because I've got this friend who is an evangelical Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, very, very much a good Christian. And he's a good friend of mine. But I always harass him because he loves horror movies as much as I do. And I go, dude, that's pornography. Like, horror movies is straight up horror
porn. That's the loophole, though.
Right? For sure.
I said, you're betraying the will of God. You should not be watching
porn. That's a loophole. He's yeah, smart, right? It's a loophole.
It's like the hole in the sheet.
Like, hey, yeah. I watched a movie.
It's like anal is okay to do, just not vaginal before you're married.
Yeah, you can soak.
Do all the anal you want.
You can soak, but you can't move.
You can dip it.
Soak. Yeah,
you can dip it. You can soak it, just don't move it.
You can do just the tip, too.
All right, Chris, it's your turn.
Did you give all three of your honorable mentions?
Yes, I did.
Oh, all right. All right, so I have some similar ones, but I also have some other ones, too. There was a lot out there.
There's
I can't believe
we
haven't
done... There's a lot of torture horror, because it's something that gets under your skin very easily, you know, for most people.
Okay, so my number five, and this one like was came out of the blue for me, and I was like, holy shit, I'm surprised I liked this movie as much as I did, was Strangeland with Dee Snider.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know what? Dude, I didn't even think of that one. That was a pretty good movie.
Dude, and the cool thing about that was it was like 1998 when like the internet really just became a thing, and he was on there trolling for freaks to bring into his house to torture. Then,
dude, and
you know?
The soundtrack for that was awesome. I have the soundtrack on CD. Yeah, I love
that. Yeah, and Dee Snider looked almost as creepy without the makeup as he did with the makeup. Yeah. I was like, he's just a creepy looking dude to begin with.
Yeah.
So that was my number five. Number four, Hostel. I think that was also your number four.
Same number four as me. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, right? Number three, and we actually reviewed this one a couple of years ago, Incident in a Ghostland.
Yeah.
That movie was crazy. Like I just thought that was a great concept, and that's what happened.
I really
with
liked
girls
that movie.
They were getting tortured. Yeah. My number two is Saw, also on your list. Yep. My number one is The Loved Ones. I just like that for my list. That one, like just that girl and the creepy dad, and then like the when they open up that basement and there's all them other dudes down there. I was just like, holy crap!
Yeah.
That was just like a pleasant surprise, that movie.
Yeah, it definitely was. Definitely was.
Two honorable mentions on my list. Would You Rather from 2013. It was like a basically like, you know, like a, that Truth or Dare movie.
Oh, I saw that one. That was good.
Brittany Snow and Jeffrey Combs
were
in that.
I thought we watched that one and reviewed it, maybe. I thought I picked it.
No.
Okay. I don't think we reviewed it. So it was a bunch of people who needed money for one thing or another. I think Jeffrey Combs was like
the rich guy
who brought them all.
Broken. He was doing all these.
Yeah. So he brought them all for dinner and said, okay, someone's going to walk out of here with a lot of money. And then he had them do shit to themselves and then to each other to see what they would put themselves through to get this money. It was cool. And the Collector, which I thought was a pretty sweet movie. Wasn't torture per se, but the shit that he had going on in his house was,
I was borderline with that one because, like you said, to me, it didn't really. I didn't, when I looked at the vast collection of torture horror,
this one didn't quite fit. I just really liked that and the sequel, and I've always hoped that they would come out with a third somehow. But so that's my list.
Nice, very good list.
Yeah.
There was a lot more than I thought there would be. Like I was torture movies. And there's some I thought I forgot about.
Yeah, you could have went with Hellraiser too. Oh, we picked that.
That kind of would fit there right? too.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Hellacious Torment.
Exactly. Number five, I went with Seven.
Oh yeah. Oh shit! Yeah, I didn't even think
of
that one.
Think about that one. Shit.
Like when they got to the crime scenes, you know, I mean, they were obviously tortured.
Yeah.
That poor bastard who had to eat all that that tomato soup. And then the guy who had to, like, you know, buy that cod piece and, like...
Oh, and go to town on a hooker with that. Damn. Yep.
That's some good torture.
He made me do it. He
That's
made
right. Me That's do why it was on my list at number 5.
David Fincher.
Yeah, number 4, I went with Incident in the Ghostland.
Oh, yep. Nice.
Number 3, The Human Centipede.
That's my number 3 also. We
gotta torture Chris and tie him to a chair.
I know, we're going to make him watch it.
I play Beethoven in the background.
It's one of those films where I literally cannot get some of those scenes out of
Clockwork Orange could have been another good one too, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. The little of the Ludwig von.
Yeah, speaking about playing the eyelids open and making you watch.
Yeah, that's what I
number 2, I went with Saul.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my number 2.
Just I'll go with the first one because
that kicked it all off, man.
There were some other good ones. So actually, 2, I 2 is really good.
And number 1, I went with Hostel. I don't know.
Yeah,
that eyeball scene. Yeah, man. That's
dude. I just remember seeing that in the theater and being like, "What the fuck?"
Bro? Yeah,
yeah.
What we need to bet is it could really happen. You know what I mean? That's what you walked out of there going, "God damn."
Yeah.
Yeah, like probably shit. I motherfuckers out there stay backpacking in Europe.
Motherfuckers Yeah.
Yeah, the reveal at the end was like, oh shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fuck. And then Hostel 2.
Oh god, yeah, just as good, right?
Yeah. I don't think I've seen Hostel 2.
Good on that one, right?
Yeah. Don't think I've seen it.
It's not
I'll see that one. I won't see Human Centipede.
It was good. Not as
okay.
Good.
That's it, Craig. When you guys come to California, we're watching Human Centipede.
Yeah, no.
I'll go sleep out in the street.
And I had a House of 1,000 Corpses on for my honorable mention. That's the only one.
Nice.
I didn't even think of that one for a torture movie.
Yeah, it literally is, man. To me, when it comes to horror films, there are few horror films that I can watch and go, oh shit, this actually is terrifying. And there's two for me. One is Home Invasion, and the other
is Strangers. Torture. Strangers would have been a good one too, right?
Mm. Yeah. Home Invasion is sometimes hard for me to watch because it's just
for sure
too fucking close to being a possibility. Better watch, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah for sure.
Out. Right. And the same with the torture horror. It really gets under my skin. Like, it's really difficult. The Human Centipede was hard to fucking watch. But
sure is.
But the funny thing is, even after seeing it, I watched part 2.
Yeah, I think there's 3.
I did watch part 2. Yeah. I did not watch part 3. Part 2 drew the fucking line for me because that crazy motherfucker that was trying to mimic the original killer, fuck that. That guy was fucking crazy. And then I met him in person.
Oh, yeah, that heavy.
I met him in person guy. And I got him to sign his photograph of him from
He's
the film.
He's been in other stuff too. And I've seen him.
Dude, I got a film. I got the photo somewhere on my computer, but I got it signed and I gave it to one of my friends at work and I got it signed with his fucking name on it. And it says, always eat a high fiber diet.
Nice.
He's just weird in person. He's like German or something, isn't he?
Dude, he is a very weird fucking dude. That's why I said when I met him in person, I was freaked the fuck out. I'm like, I'm not watching the third movie after that. I almost felt like the second movie was a documentary after I met that guy. All right. Awesome. Good. We're moving on to our movie review this month. The movie this month is a film called High Life. It was released in 2018 showcase kind of fucking shit film contest, but was picked up and released in theaters in 2019. This film is based on a character named Monty. Monty and his baby daughter are the last survivors of a damned and dangerous mission to the outer reaches of the solar system. They must now rely on each other to survive as they hurtle towards oblivion of a black hole. This film is rated R for disturbing, violent content, disturbing sexual content, graphic nudity, graphic language, graphic sexual assault.
It's got it all.
Yeah, the genre, the funny part though is genre is mystery, thriller, sci-fi.
You're like, wait, what?
Yeah. With all that shit in it, it's a thriller sci-fi
mystery.
Yeah, it is an English film. It was directed by Claire Denis, a French director, and written by Claire Denis, Geoff Cox, and Jean-Paul. I don't know how to say the name. I'm sorry. It was released in theaters April 5th, 2019, in limited select theaters, and then sent directly to streaming on June 11th, 2019. The box office gross in the U.S. was $1.2 million. It was released by A24, and it's an hour and 53 minutes long.
When I saw A24, I was like, oh, shit, another A24 movie.
The funny thing is, I don't know if you guys go on Reddit at all. Do you guys use Reddit?
Nah.
I prefer Reddit over most social media sites. But anyway, there is a Reddit channel dedicated solely to A24 films /r/ A24. And sweet. Somebody 3 years ago, I remember, went on a rant at how shitty this movie was. Like, he went on a full-blown fucking rant. And now that I've watched it, I go, I think he was wrong.
I was going to say, I mean, at all. You know, it's funny. Like, remember when we went and saw Hereditary? We walked out of the theater and there was people, younger people in front of us who didn't care for it.
Yeah, they were like, that was dumb.
Yeah, I mean, some people are just, like, looking for a certain thing, especially if they hear horror, but the description you gave didn't say horror. But there's different kinds of horror, especially as you get older and you know, become more in tune with being a human being. Yep. And, you know, it's not just about jump scares.
Right. Right.
So I agree with what you're saying there, but let's talk about the movie.
Yeah. So let me just say, before we get into any spoilery discussions, that the film was an hour and 53 minutes, almost 2 hours long, but it did not feel like it. It kept my interest. Yeah.
I stopped once just because I was like, it was early on because I was like, I wasn't quite sure where they were trying to go with it early on. And I'm like,
you know what threw me off?
And I'm like,
it's the beginning, that non-linear
story. Yeah, just jumping all over the place. Yeah.
They jumped around way too fucking much. Yeah. And it kind of threw me off in the very beginning.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, I looked at it. I'm like, holy shit, I'm only a half hour into this. But then after that, I was good.
Yeah.
Because it started to like make some sense.
Exactly. It's like they were doing a lot of time jumping. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? He's having flashbacks of his kid, childhood.
They would go down to Earth once in a while. I was like, whoop.
Yeah. It would be like, what the fuck is happening? But once I got the gist of like exactly what was kind of going on there, I was like, all right, I'm good.
And I think the tension for me kept it moving pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was definitely feeling of dread, especially once you knew what the deal was. You know, I was like,
yeah, I know. Like, oof, so it was gross.
It's kind of funny that you picked torture movies because this could be considered torture,
kind of, to a certain extent. Just to let's get into some spoilery discussion. So right here, if you're interested in watching this movie and you don't want to be spoiled, you don't want to hear any details of the film, pause right now. Go watch the film. It's a good film. Check it out. And then come back and hear what we have to say about it.
Definitely a slow burn.
Yeah. At first, you know, I'm watching the film and I'm like, all right, the concept is interesting, right? It turns out they're all criminals.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Convicted of a crime of sorts, one or another. And they are put on a ship with a mission that basically is a suicide mission because as they explained, the propulsion engine just rapidly, they keep going faster and faster. There's no friction. The engine,
which is why they don't feel the gravity. Stream.
They reach up to 99% of the speed of light. And then they describe that. They show a scene where everyone's watching.
There was cool visuals there. Yeah. I liked the visuals that they had there. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, the visuals were pretty good. But then I'm like, then you realize that, oh, this is a suicide mission. Like, basically, this is Earth discarding its criminals.
Yeah.
Especially once you figure out.
Sort of.
Well, once you figure out in the very beginning that they lose contact with Earth.
Yeah.
And that was intentional.
Yep.
Like that's it. You know, they're gone. Very fucked up because it's weird. They kept. It was very hard to follow at the beginning because, right?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. They explained that crazy ass nurse is drugging all of them through the water supply, but also
the experiments she was doing were fucked.
Yeah, like procreation without sex, because none of the occupants of the ship were allowed to have sexual intercourse. No sexual interaction.
But they had to jerk off into a cup, and the girls had to get like artificially inseminated.
Yeah, it was like fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like they were being
Julia Bianche, who played that chick, was great. It was a great cast.
It was a good cast. There were some primo fucking actors in that cast.
I like Robert Pattinson and Mia Goth. I mean,
come on, she's a national treasure. I mean, what
you put those two in there together, I'm like, holy shit, like it's gotta be a good movie, right?
Right. And like you said, the girl, the actress that played the nurse was fucking fantastic.
Yep. Andre 2000.
Such Andre 2000.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Like, that's fucking crazy. But yeah, so they have this the thing they call the box.
Oh, the box
that everybody goes into and vigorously masturbates, except for the one guy, Robert Pattinson's character.
He's taken on a monastic lifestyle.
Yeah, he's decided to live.
See, I think they kind of use that as an escape too, right? That box. It's sort of.
Well, you need something, especially since they're not allowing you to like actually like have intercourse with another person.
But even so, eventually in the film, it does lead to a violent sexual assault
because they're repressed.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, that was repressed. The thing too. Like you noticed they got more and more violent as the movie went on.
Well, and it was explained by the narrator that, which is Robert Pattinson's character, that approaching those speeds of the speed of light, you begin to lose your mental stability in addition to the radiation of space. Yeah. The spaceship is not protecting you very well from radiation. You spend decades in space, you're getting fucking cooked from the inside out.
Which is why all those babies kept dying.
And the guy got leukemia.
Well, eventually the captain got leukemia and then had a fucking stroke to top it all off, right?
No, she got murdered.
Did you guys put closed captions on too? We probably want to tell the people to put it on closed captions. Because you'll miss a ton of stuff if you didn't.
Well, I missed.
Did you see the scene when
I had headphones on for it though?
Did you hear what he said? You hear what the guy said to the nurse
when she euthanized him? No, what did he say?
Yeah, suck my dick. He said, "Suck my dick."
You got to put closed captions. That's why I said you missed the movie. Because he leaned over. He's like,
he said, "Please."
He's like. And I would have never heard it because it was like whispering.
Please.
I need to get off before I die. Is that like?
Yeah.
I don't think he knew she was going to kill him. I think he just thought he was going to, be in a vegetative state. And so she, she was crazy. She had a crazy role,
dude. And then she,
like that,
she basically
that scene where she
Robert
was in the box.
Pattinson.
Like I wasn't sure if I was turned on or creeped out. Like when she was in there, like with that,
a little turned on.
Well, I was kind of, but then I was also like, is this weird that I'm digging this? Or like,
and then when she got up, the chair was all wet. I was like, whoa, what the fuck?
Well, and then they showed all that like white shit flowing out of the train.
I think it was like cleaning the box.
Is that what it was? Because when that guy went in there, the same thing happened. And that's why I was like, were they
system
like,
that, flushed. Yeah,
disinfecting
exactly.
The fuck booth.
Disinfecting the box.
Yeah, no, I think that's what that was.
Yeah. Make it kind of stanky up in there.
Yeah, it was interesting. And then I was kind of like questioning at first. I'm like, are we trusting the narrator? Like,
I don't know because I mean, he was the last one.
I've seen movies where you can't.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. He was the last one to survive, and
he got raped by the nurse, which was an interesting scene too.
And then she took that like his semen and cupped it in her hands
and then
and went to the lab with her little penis straw and then shoved it up in Mia Goth.
It was
some weird ass shit in that movie.
But here's the thing that got to me is at the end I'm thinking, all right, first of all, visually fucking stunning film. From beginning to end.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The cinematography was great. Some of the scenes were great. The set pieces were awesome. It's very low tech.
Yeah.
But still fantastic. Like, I was in
awe. But in that little greenhouse, like, I people, like, sort of, that was sort of like paradise for them, too, right?
Well, because they said it felt like they were on Earth because it had
Andre,
soil. That's why they were, like, playing in the dirt and shit.
Andre 3000's character.
Feel happy. Yeah. Right.
Andre 3000's character was like, I want to be buried because I want to feel Earth, and he did bury him there at the end. He's the only one that he didn't throw off the fucking ship.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then after the nurse got attacked, she put herself out the fucking airlock.
And then, like, yeah, well, so yeah, that's what I was saying before. So Mia Goth killed the pilot.
Killed the pilot.
The pilot was, and then just that scene was awesome when she was out there and like she started. You could see her getting sick and shit. Yeah. And then
it was funny because I was reading the background of this film. They had a physicist as a consultant on this film to explain spaghettification. So that scene was of her getting spaghettified and vertically compressed, which crushed her skull and brain so that you saw that screen pop. And that what happened is because she wasn't an authorized pilot, she went through that cloud of material.
Oh, yeah.
And that threw off the trajectory of the autopilot, and she didn't know how to adjust it, and she just got clobbered and sucked into the black hole.
That was a pretty sweet scene.
Yeah. Now, my question to you is at the end.
Well, it's up for interpretation, right? They either survive
or
they
die.
Well, because they show them walking into like an orange light.
So they either survived or they died, right? You don't know.
I think that's so, but that's the thing. Like if like you were saying about Mia Goth, like, but maybe spaghettification is different depending on the way you go into the, like, maybe they became part of
the wrong spot.
Yeah. They didn't explode. They just became part of, you know, the black hole kind of, you know, so their matter like split up and just became part of it.
Yeah. And it's funny it's funny how they're accurate with their time dilation. So as they're moving faster towards the speed of light away from Earth, time on Earth,
that was weird. That messed with my mind.
And Earth is basically gone by the time they're at the black hole.
Yeah, that messed with my mind.
And then when the second ship showed up,
oh, with the dogs,
I didn't understand that part.
Yeah,
I was like, why is it full of dogs?
Well, because apparently they had some dogs on that ship. And the dogs were left wild. They eventually winded procreating and then eating each other.
Yeah.
So there were like dead dogs and half-eaten dogs. And
but there were no people on it, right? It was just dogs.
It's possible.
Well, you don't know, the dogs might have eaten the humans.
That's what I'm saying. Is my assumption is the dogs ate the dead people.
Because I think it was another experiment. They sent some people up with dogs, and I think
more prisoners.
Yeah.
Right? Because the ship was number 9, so chances are there was a number 8 that got lost along the way.
Yeah, and I think that's where my thought was, that the dogs ate the people, probably.
Okay, I was just thinking it was a ship full of dogs. I'm like, wow, what did those dogs do wrong?
No, you know, my thought is the people died, the dogs ate and procreated and took over the ship, more or less.
Yeah, that's why they were angry when that guy walked out there. He said, get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah.
I'll eat your ass.
Yeah.
And his history was the other dog, that's why he's like, eh.
But the weird thing is, like, at the end of it all, I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right. It was a visually stunning film. It was an interesting film. It kept my attention. It was filled with, like, dread and just, like, shit is bad. Everything.
That was like an experiment, though, too, right? Like, human, like, I don't know, because they were logging stuff in the computer, too, so.
Yeah, but my thing at the end is, okay, is this, like, an allegory for something? Did I miss a greater story here or something? Because I felt like, yeah, it's great, it's like an art piece, but what does it mean? When I left it, I started googling, because I'm like, well, all right, so is there like an allegory here, or is this like civilization in a microcosm? What is it? No, there's nothing. It's just a film. Yeah. So I mean, take it for what it's worth. It was entertaining. The cinematography was stunning. I read up on the director. She apparently did a lot of really great films. So it kind of reminded me a little bit of
Solaris. No.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. So the same kind of film shots, the same kind of ideas, it pulls a lot from like Solaris.
And it was a great cast.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the cast.
No, it was good acting. Like I said, it could pull a lot of human behavior out of the movie, right?
Yeah, I think for sure. Like knowing that you're either going to, like,
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
and
I think be abstinent forever.
Well, no, but and the really shitty thing was he was left on the ship with his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, so you
that
know
was sad,
you're
right? That was
you're never
sad,
gonna
like, it's just
you're never gonna get back home. You're going to die on the ship. Your ship is running out of all kinds of shit. They took control of what they could control, and shot themselves into that black hole because
they were a happy family, and that's why I said they sort of did that together, right? When they grabbed each other's hands, they're like, yeah, you know, we're either going to make it or we're not going to make it. And I said, I think it's sort of up in the air. I don't know, you know, the ending.
So I guess you could say that for like your allegory for the movie is like, you know, like they didn't have control over pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they had the ability to decide that they weren't going to just wait around for shit to fall apart, and they were going to, you know, take their lives into their own hands and hold hands and sing Kumbaya on the right end of the black hole.
Yeah. 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 All right.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit depressing.
Yeah. A lot.
For sure. Yeah. It was
the violence.
And when you found out that it was like, you know, they're going nowhere. It's like, oh, that was so disgusting and gross. It was like, ugh. Yeah.
And then that one baby dying, and then Mia Goth saying she's not going to have any kids. And then she's basically becoming violent because she doesn't want to partake in those fucking insemination fucking experiments. Yep. And then you find out.
Yeah, she's like, they got me. You know, it was like,
yeah. And then you find out that the nurse, like, she killed her
kid. Yeah, and her husband. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, well, did you suffocate him with the pillow? And she goes, no, I used a knife.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, she was a mess. Fuck. She was a cool character, like, though, right? Like, just...
well, yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Basically, it just proves that every fucking person on that ship was a criminal. They didn't go into detail with the captain, but I'm telling you, the captain was a fucking criminal.
Yeah.
They all had to be fucking criminals.
Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And then you wonder, with the years of radiation, how did Robert Pattinson's character become the one survivor?
Well, and how did his baby like make it too? Because all those other babies
died. Yep. He kept saying, I've got good genetics.
Well, the nurse said too, or the doctor, what was she, a nurse, a doctor? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Dibs. But she said the she's a miracle provider, or whatever, right? She.
Yeah.
But apparently he somehow educated her with films or something from Earth.
That was one thing I couldn't figure out. Like, how did she know some shit? Like, his daughter knew some shit about stuff.
Well,
like,
the only reason you know is because that scene where he goes, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm praying. He goes, do you know what God to pray to? She goes, I don't know. I saw it in one of the videos from Earth, and I wanted to know what it feels like. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and cruelty. She's like, well, how do you know what cruelty is?
Right.
You don't know cruelty.
Well, like I said, she had to have like a video archive of movies from Earth and things from Earth to watch. Otherwise, how did she know any of that shit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I don't know.
I guess in a lot of it, maybe they had the Encyclopedia Britannica up there or something.
I'm going to put it this way. To me, it was an interesting film. Just to summarize my view of the film. Interesting. I appreciated the cinematography. I appreciated the film and the acting. But I can see where that dude on Reddit was like, all right, I fucking hate this film. This is the worst A24 film. I'm like, yeah, because if you're just expecting thrillers and fucking things like that all the time, yeah, you're going to be disappointed.
You want some closure too, maybe? So, maybe,
yeah,
right?
when you have like an independent film that comes out like this, I would prefer closure, but this isn't the first film we reviewed where they left the end open-ended.
Yeah.
A lot of great films have open-ended, you know, endings to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just was wondering, like, what was your thought on it? So for me, my review, I'm gonna say out of 5 stars, 3.5.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
that's where I was going too. Yeah, same here. 3.5.
I would recommend it to only a certain crowd of people that I know. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it to everybody because I'm sure a lot of people would come out like that guy on Reddit.
Yeah,
this is fucking trash. What are you trying to tell me? This is a good A24 film? Fucking A24 has better films than this. You know, that guy, seriously, that guy wrote like a 4-page rant about how much he hated this film.
Wow, dude, that's crazy. Yeah. I liked it. It was different. You know, at first, like I said, it took me a while to get into it because I was like, what the hell's going on here? And I was like, it's only a half an hour in. Yeah, but then I was hooked.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is, and just the humanity of the, you know, the horror of humanity, I think, is what it was.
Here's the funny thing that I was thinking about while watching the film. If I were a kid at a video store buying films, you know, renting films for a dollar to take home at this little video store in town, the Little Red Caboose, and I was going to pick up a couple films for a dollar for the weekend to watch with my buddies, I would have picked this film based on the cover. You know why? The cover, it was Robert Pattinson with a space helmet on and the reflection of green growing things
around him. Which you thought would have been high light. Maybe.
I thought it was fucking weed. I thought this was like a fucking. I thought this was a weed movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Didn't see.
High life, and you saw greenery. I'm like, yeah, it's weed in space. Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, funny it had nothing to do with weed. In fact, there was one scene where Andre 2000 had weed growing next to him, and he sniffed it, and that was it. There was no other weed in the movie.
Yeah, I was like, man, I'd be out in that garden all the time. Yeah, what else are you gonna do up there?
Fucking growing everything in there, man. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
So three and a half all around.
Yeah. Excellent. So that is an American Nightmare podcast. 3.5 stars for High Life. If you're into art films and you appreciate cinema and you appreciate the work and artwork of directors, writers, and cinematographers and directors of photography, this is a great film to watch. The beginning, my only warning to everybody is the beginning, that time jumping throws you off a little bit.
Yep. Oh, and watch it takes with a while captions to get on.
Yeah, and I wish I would have done that because I did not. Yeah, no, I heard him mumble something.
There was a lot of soft spoken stuff, and like I said, he whispered.
Yeah.
Well, I heard most things because it was late at night, so I had my earbuds in so that I didn't have my sound system going. And I had my earbuds in for my Apple TV, and I'm listening to it on that. So I heard most things, but at the end, he was just like, I'm like, what did he just say?
He said, suck my dick. Please.
I thought he was just like mumbling because he had a fucking stroke, right? Because he was like on the exercise bike and he was going nuts and then he's like foaming at the mouth and he's falling off the bike and like, he's having a stroke. All right. Awesome. Let me wrap up the show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to American Nightmare Podcast. We're just here ranting and raving about things that we love, talking about the movies that we love, making jokes about the films that we love, having a good time. And we're glad that you're here listening in. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors, tell your family, let them know that if they like horror movies, here's a fun little podcast to listen to, and we'll give you some recommendations. Also, feel free to contact us by calling us on our Google voicemail line, 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us we suck. Tell us we're great. Give us a movie to recommend a movie to us to watch and a top five list or something, or join our Facebook group. And make some recommendations. Follow the news with us. And we will see you next month.
Yep, thanks.
Yes.